It is 7:30, our host said. So thank you, Terry, for that reminder. Hi, I'm Zelda Gebhardt, and I want to welcome everyone to our CCLVI committee open house. This is a CCLVI special event, and tonight we will be showcasing two of our organization's committees, the Fred Scheigert Scholarship Committee and the Fundraising Committee. But first, as membership chair of CCLVI, I've got to do a little commercial here. So I'm going to share a little bit about CCLVI in general. Do you find yourself living in the awkward position of being neither fully sighted or totally blind? If so, you are not alone. We know how you feel. Whether you were born with low vision or your vision has decreased over the years, the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, CCLVI, is an organization whose members understand you and your experiences. We are dedicated to providing information and tips to help you live well with vision loss. Our weekly Zoom events are listed on the ACB community schedule. They include chats, support group, and informational sessions and different topics such as technology and living with vision loss. To find out more about CCLVI, you can call our toll-free number and get a real person on the other end, and that's 844-460-0625, and I'll give that at the end of our evening. And we also have a CCLVI information line where you can get all kinds of interesting things. Our newsletter is included in that. And that number is 773-572-6315. Now, for the main attraction, as they say, I want to welcome David Trott and Kathy Farina. And I hope some of their committee members too, and we'll begin. So I'm going to begin with the scholarship committee, and David is the chairman of that. David, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us who are the members of your committee?
Okay, I'm David Trott from Talladega, Alabama. I'm the treasurer of the American Council of the Blind and the scholarship chair for CCLVI. I won't go into all the other things that I do because we'd be here till in the morning. But Kathy's here tonight. Leslie, unfortunately, had a conflict, and so did a couple of the others. But the committees, Kathy, you may have to help me out here. I can't remember all these names. We've got Leslie, Ralph, Alan, Jim, Brian, myself, Kathy, Marja, Angela.
Angela.
I can't
Lanier.
Remember four. Yeah. Poor Angelo's name. I get it every time. Anyway, great group. We work well together. I'm starting my third year as chair, and we have a format that we use every year. Leslie has a group of three with Ralph and Angelo who do the high school graduates going into college scholarship. That'd be the freshman scholarship. Kathy, Marja, and I do the undergraduate scholarship, and then Brian, Jim, and Alan do the graduate level scholarships. And what we do each year, we go over the questions that we want to ask. For the last couple of years, what we've been trying to do is make the questions more apropos to the particular scholarship that they're applying for. For example, the freshman group really has fewer questions, should have fewer questions. There's a lot that they just simply can't answer. And we just don't want them putting NA on the answer because a couple of them that felt like that, you know, by not answering, they might not qualify. So we want it to be as transparent as possible and as easy as possible. We're finding out every year that it's a great experience, guys. It really is, because you meet these wonderful young people who are doing things with their lives that they wouldn't even dream back in my mm-hmm. day.
Mm-hmm. David, I understand why you would have limited questions, because at that young age, they have had limited experience. So there's fewer things to ask them about. So that's great that you tailor it to where they're at.
Well, you know, they do, but you'd be surprised at a lot of the giving back experience you know, charity work or just generally being a good neighbor type experience that these kids have. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting every year. You know, you feel it because you're meeting these people for the first time. And in some cases, it's rare. We do get, you know, second applicants for the graduate and undergraduate. But, you know, especially Les's group, they you meet them for the first time and they're just wonderful kids and they're all so enthusiastic. It's good for us. We do ask for transcripts at each level. And we do, that is part of it. And then we look at the questionnaire. And then finally, we do the interviews. And we do the interviews as a team, our team, like, and I'll use my team, for example, or I refer to it as Kathy's team, because I generally have Kathy take lead on the undergraduate team, because as the committee chair, I'm there to keep our focus of our committee and keep us running smooth. And I really like a working committee. And so Kathy and Marge is great. And I'm there, you know, throw in a question every now and then, but mm-hmm. they do such a great job. And we go through the interviews with each one of them and we make our decisions. And I think if you ask either one of the team leaders, Brian leads the scholarship, the graduate team, like I said, Kathy leads ours and then Les leads the other. If you ask either one of them, you know, the interview is one of the greatest experiences you can have because you really get to talk to them personally. In some cases, we do video interviews now for our presentation when we do our presentations at the American Council of the Blind Convention. So it's a good time and I don't want to play that good time down. It's a lot of work, but it's mm-hmm. also hard. It's very difficult. This year, Kathy, Marge, and I really had to dig deep to come up with our winner because we had three people there. We had more than three apply, but we had three that was just so close. You could have picked either one of them, made a good choice, but unfortunately you can only pick one.
And right, that's the hard part, isn't it?
It is. It's really hard because in the case of the one we picked this year, she got two scholarships. And, you know, one of the things that we ask ourselves, should we not give her this because she got the other one? And we all agreed no, because she was the best, you know.
She was deserving. Yep.
She deserved it. So we gave it to her. Then this year we was able to get, you know, Fred is getting older. And so we was able to get an interview with Fred. And I'm hoping when we're in person that I can sit down and have lunch with Fred and do some recording of stuff and do a more intense interview and record it. And then we can edit it out because we weren't able to do the editing we'd like to do this year. And there was some stuff with Fred we just flat didn't get in, you know, mm-hmm. because of the time constraint right. for our portion of the scholarship day.
But it's wonderful to have the opportunity to present our scholarship winners during the session. I really have enjoyed that. That takes collaboration, which is great. And like you said, must be an exciting time to talk to these young individuals and sometimes not so young, you know, people going back and, you know, getting further degrees and whatnot. It's such a wonderful time in their lives and to be able to be a part of that and to be able to support them with a little extra money so that things are just a tad bit easier. It's got to feel really good.
Well, it does. And what I try to do, our teams make these decisions and they do the hard work. So what I like to do is I like to introduce Leslie to present the, you know, the freshman scholarship, then mm-hmm. Kathy or Marja to do the undergraduate, and then Brian to do the graduate. And why I like to do that is most people know me. I like for them to get to see these people that are doing the work. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the backbone of this committee. I like for that little bit of recognition to go out as well.
Well, we like to expose the troops in the trench, so to speak.
We do. And you know, one thing I like for people to know, the dedication and the value that Fred Skyburn has given our scholarship, because we would not be able to do this without him.
Absolutely.
And so that's been a great blessing for CCLVI and those of us who are able to work with it. So I want to thank Patty for continuing to give me the opportunity to serve as chair, and I hope that y'all are happy with the job that we're doing, and maybe somebody will have some questions now.
Well, it sounds like you're a well-oiled machine. You know, it sounds like it's all going very well. Are you looking for any more committee members, or are you full up and at this time you don't really need it? But what you need of us is to promote the fact that we have scholarships and to let those people that are going back and getting more training to know that this exists and there is help out there. Is that what you want of all of us tonight?
That's essentially what we want. Now, we don't want to stop anybody from serving if they really, really have a strong desire to serve. The only thing I ask you to understand is that we are perfectly content. It's like you said, we're a well-oiled machine. So we've got level numbers. I actually asked Patty to let me add one more last year, and we added Ralph Smitherman for the simple reason that when our teams meet, you've got nine people, you've got three teams, and there's no tie in three. That's the main thing. So if somebody had a strong desire, though, we would find a place for them, you know, if Patty felt like that they needed to be there, and I did, Patty and I would sit down and talk about it. We would, you know, we don't want anybody that wants to work turned away.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that attitude. Are there any certain skills or experiences that are helpful for somebody who would want to serve on this committee?
Yeah, they are actually. You need some educational background working with you know, like I have I worked a lot with rehab people over the years, and I worked in my job with the Alabama Institute for the Blind. You know, I set up programs for people to work in they hadn't worked before. So I worked with the training facilities and all and got to know students. And then, Rhonda and I volunteer with the School for the Blind. You know, we try to keep our work in with those students up there. So we, you know, Rhonda hadn't missed. She's her 50th anniversary of her graduation date is coming up. In those 49 years, she's missed two graduations, and one of them was due to COVID.
How exciting.
And, you know, we got Marge in the positions that she has. Matter of fact, she's fixing to get out of one of those positions. And then you just, everybody knows. Or has a love for it. And if you've got a love for it, you'll learn.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't really have to have 9 years of experience in education.
Very good. So varying different skills and experiences would do you well to serve on this committee. You mentioned that you had just redone some of the applications. Now, those applications are available, will be, when it gets to be scholarship application time, they'll be available on our website. You know, since you've just overhauled them, are there any things you're going to do differently this year than you've done before, or pretty much staying with the same thing?
We're going to go over the questions next month. I've asked each group to look at the questions. Like I said, probably in Les's group, the freshman group, we're going to drop some questions. Kathy may see a different because, you know, we're an open group, so we discuss things thoroughly. But right now, I don't see our group changing or Brian's group changing.
Okay, great.
Or the undergraduate.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, I'd like to, if anyone attending would have any questions to ask of David and Kathy, she's here. And I don't know, I haven't looked at the list lately to see if there are any other committee members, but go ahead and raise your hand. And Terry, if you'd like to tell them how they can do that, if they're not familiar, how are there any hands raised?
Patty Cox and Samantha.
I just want to say thank you to David that it's one committee that he's right. It works like a well-oiled machine. And I don't have to, you know, worry a lot with that group. They do just such a great job.
Thank you.
Very good. Are there any other
hands? We don't have any other hands right now.
Well, let's give Kathy an opportunity to put her two cents in about the scholarship committee since she's serving on that.
One point that I wanted to add about scholarship is that our busiest time of the year is March and April, because our application, usually the period when we're accepting applications starts January 1st and runs through March 15th. So March 15th is the deadline. So after March 15th is when the scholarship committee really goes to work reviewing all those applications and figuring out, you know, who we're going to interview, because we don't interview every single candidate. We have a process by which we rate the applications and figure out, you know, who we're going to interview. And then we set up the interviews, and by the end of April, beginning of May, we usually know who our winners are. And that's when we start contacting them and about, yes, you've won and this is what you need to do, that kind of thing. So that's our busy time of the year. And then our other busy time of the year is when we're actually advertising for the scholarship, which is usually in the fall, when we, you know, we kind of warn people that the application period's opening in January, and we try to get people's attention about it. So,
well, thank you for that timeline. That gives us an idea of when the busy times are, and sounds like you're semi-busy all year, but extra busy when you're going through those applications and such.
Yep.
So very good. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
One other thing, or actually it's two other things. During the application process, Leslie Spoon calls anybody back who calls with questions at the information line. And Jim Urich is our scribe. He keeps on track for the meetings and that kind of thing. So they, you know, like I said, it's not just interviewing and not just getting this stuff out there and advertising it. We all have to connect with the agencies, you know, we do everything that we can possibly to get this scholarship application out to as many people as possible.
And, if they don't know about it, they can't apply.
Right. And we're running on average, what, Kathy, about 50 a year.
Yep.
That's great.
Like that. Yep.
That's great.
50 applications. Yep.
Very good. All right. Well, let's move on. And thank you, David, so much for what you shared about the scholarship committee. It's a great thing. And it's wonderful that we have the opportunity that Fred provides us with the resources, and that we have that ability to pass those resources on to these individuals who are seeking a higher education. So thank you for all you do. Thank your committee on our behalf. Now we'd like to hear from Kathy Farina, who is the fundraising committee chair. Kathy, go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. And I am the chair of the fundraising committee. My members right now are Renee Zellickson, James Pulsoni, Patty Cox, who's our president. Of course, she's a member by virtue of being president. She's an ex officio member, and myself. So we could definitely use more members. And I would say that the skills that you need to be on the fundraising committee are enthusiasm, a little bit of salesmanship, you know, getting people to participate in fundraising events. That's really helpful if you are outgoing and able to come up with creative ideas of how to raise funds for CCLVI. That would be most helpful. Probably if you have some financial background, it might help, but it's not absolutely necessary, because we don't deal with the money part in terms of, you know, what happens to it after we raise it. We raise the money and then it goes to the treasurer, and the treasurer figures out where it goes after that. So I would say, you know, if you like people and you like to talk to people and, you know, persuade them to contribute to things, those would be the skills that we're most likely looking for. What we do, I would say our busiest time is convention time, because that's when usually we do most of our fundraising. In past, when we had in-person conventions, we participated in the ACB Marketplace, which is, if you've been to a convention, you know that happens in the morning before the general sessions. We're usually out in the hallway where the general session is. We have a table, as do other folks who are doing fundraising. And that's when we sell tickets for a drawing. And usually we have items like jewelry. We've had gift cards. I think mostly that's what we do at the marketplace. And we sell tickets, and then we draw the winners at the business meeting at the convention for those items. And we, you know, the items are there so you can look at them and see what they're like. And also at the convention, we usually do a 50-50 drawing. Mm-hmm. And so we sell tickets at the marketplace, and we sell tickets at the business meeting and at our game night. We, you know, to try to get folks to participate. And we usually draw that at the business meeting as well. We have started doing fundraisers during the year as well. We've had a couple of 50-50 drawings, well, usually around the holiday time, around Christmas time. And then we do another one in the spring. And we're hoping to do a Tupperware party in February or March of next year to raise some money. I don't know if anybody's been to the fundraisers that other affiliates have done that are through Tupperware, but they actually have a virtual Tupperware party, and the representative will describe things and you can order things, and the CCLVI would get a certain percentage of profit or the take on those items. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking for ideas for new and different ways to raise money for CCLVI. And we sometimes designate our money that we raise for specific projects, like this past 50-50 drawing that we did at the convention was to raise money to publish Vision Access, which is our publication that we do 6 times a year. So we gave the proceeds to that. So anybody who's interested in working with us, we're looking for new members. We'd be happy to hear from you.
Yeah. And as Kathy just said, when we have the privilege of having an in-person convention, they're always out there in the morning before the session in the marketplace. and the favorite things are jewelry and candy, and then with the 50-50 cash. So that must be what attracts people, those three things, because yep. They seem to go pretty well. And yep. I seem to remember that maybe there might have been some chocolate available at the mid-year meetings too, which mm-hmm. they now yes. call the leadership. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's always a good pick-me-up if you've been sitting in the chair around a table for some hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like the major prerequisite for being on the committee is just a willingness to use your creativity and work to give opportunities to people so that we can raise funds. Some of this mm-hmm. money, as Kathy said, has gone towards special projects, but some of it is definitely earmarked for our major expenditure, and that is the programming we do at convention. We mm-hmm. sometimes have speaker fees and such to yep. pay for that. So yep. that's the reason behind. It's not just because they like to raise money, but they do. It's because there's a good reason behind it. Yeah. So
Zelda?
Yes, Terry.
I just wanted to let you know that David Trott had his hand raised.
Okay, let's do that now. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to let Kathy know that I would be willing to serve with her and help her in any way I could.
Oh, great. I like that. A volunteer
Thank you.
Already.
Yay. All right.
That's good. Well, kind of knowing and sharing what you found has worked in other situations is always a help. And I just want to point out that when the pandemic hit, this committee, they, you know, couldn't do the fundraising that they had typically done. They had to kind of switch gears and do something different. And they've been very adept at that. I think sometimes we've had opportunities to sell things through an online store, so to speak.
Yes, I forgot to mention that. We have there's a store called the T-Spot, I believe it's T-E-E Spot, and it's based in Knoxville, Tennessee, and they print, you know, logos on things, and so we have some items that you can buy online through them, you can order, that have the CCLVI logo on them. There are polo shirts. They're very nice. All different colors you can get. And they're in various sizes. And they have CCLVI printed on the chest, the left chest under the collar. There's a coffee mug. We have two sizes, an 11-ounce mug and a 15-ounce mug. And they have the CCLVI logo on it. There's also hats, you know, like baseball cap, and visors that you can purchase. And they are also in a variety of colors, and they have the CCLVI logo on them as well. Mm-hmm. So we should be getting that up and running again soon, and mm-hmm. people can, you know, purchase those items. And, you know, a portion of the profit from that goes to CCLVI.
And then part of our fundraising funds come from our involvement with the walk. Do you want to tell about our team?
Yeah, that's another thing that we do. We have a team called the Firecrackers. Usually since the convention's around 4th of July, the Firecrackers is an appropriate name. Right. And anybody can join our team. You can join either, you know, if we're at an in-person convention, you can walk with us during the ACB walk, or you can walk in your neighborhood and get your family, friends, coworkers to sponsor you, donate the proceeds to the walk. And the CCLVI gets half the money raised, and ACB gets the other half of money that we raise from the walk. So
it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to raise funds for both organizations.
Right. And that's usually, if you go to the ACB website, there's a walk page, and our team is listed on there with all the other teams, and you can either join the team or make a donation, whatever you prefer to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's not hard to do. Even I, and I'm not that techie, can go on that site and fill out the form and make it, make a work of it. So I wanted to mention back to those polo shirts that are available in a T-spot. I have a purple one, and I really like it. It washes really well, and it's very nice. So lots of opportunities, and they're always open to new ideas. And as you said, they're looking for new members on this committee. So if anyone's interested,
at this point, if you want to be on the committee and you need to get in touch with me, I think right now, if you could just maybe send an email. I'm wondering if
I've got a solution to that. Yes, I do. If anyone's interested in being on either committee or wants to know more information about CCLVI, they can send an email to CCLVI membership, and that's all together with nothing in between. No periods, no slashes, no nothing. So CCLVI membership at gmail.com, or you can call that toll-free number I mentioned earlier at 844-460-0625. We'll get you all hooked up with the committee of your choice. And this is just the beginning of a series of calls we're going to do about our committees for the next, including this week, for 5 weeks. We are doing a spotlight on our committees. And some nights there are two, and some nights there are three. And so we're going to march our way down through the committees. As was mentioned earlier, the committees of any organization, that's where the true work gets done. And we value our volunteer committee members. We couldn't do any of this without them. So
Kathy King has her hand raised.
Okay, Kathy.
I have a question for Kathy Farina.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, you know, I've never been on a fundraising committee, and maybe other people haven't either. How do you come up with ideas? And you've done this, from what I hear, several years. People recognize you're very good at it. What do you like most about it?
The members of the committee have come up with ideas that maybe they've done fundraising in other for other groups. So they say, well, gee, you know, we did this and it worked really well for us. You might want to try it. So there's recommendations from members of the committee who've done other things. And there are things that we've been doing that, you know, were done before I started the committee. Like we've always participated, I think, in the marketplace, and we've had items there. And so, you know, there's things that we've been doing for a while and ideas that people have from other, from areas. I also, you know, look around and talk to people to see what has worked for them, you know, what kind of fundraising they've done, how did they do it? You know, do they have any contact information for the places they've raised money with, that kind of thing. So it's a lot of, you know, networking kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. We can definitely learn from one another. And
yes.
Yes. And mm-hmm. Do you have a specific goal as to how much you want to raise, or just more is better? How do you decide what kind of goal you're going to set for fundraising?
I look at it as more is better. Whatever we can do, it works. You know, I try to set a goal for the walk. Like this year, the last couple of years, we've set a goal of $1,000, and we've pretty much met that goal. And I'm considering raising that because I think we could do more. You know, I think we could get more money. So, you know, my philosophy is more is better.
I think that's pretty common amongst fundraisers everywhere.
Yeah, Kathy had another question, and I was trying to remember what it was.
Okay, Kathy.
What do you enjoy about being on the fundraising committee? What do you get a kick out of?
I like talking to people. I like, you know, talking to people at the marketplace and things like that. I like working with my people on my committee and learning about ideas they may have for fundraising. I, you know, to be perfectly honest, when I first took on the job of fundraising committee, it was when Leslie Spoon was president and she asked me to help her out. And I thought, oh my goodness, because I had never been on any fundraising committees and I didn't know a whole lot about it. But I thought, well, I'll try it and maybe I can learn a few things. And I have learned over the years that I'm better at it than I thought. And that I enjoy just the networking and the, you know, talking to people who come along at the convention, you know, at the marketplace, you know, meeting different people, that kind of thing. And just working with my group and hearing their ideas.
Me personally, I used to avoid fundraising like the plague, but it's one of those necessary things. We've got to have both the resources of people power and funds to do any kind of programming. And with that in mind, I've tried to convince myself I was just giving people an opportunity to be involved. And it's a lot easier to do fundraising when you look at it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Because there's a lot of ways to be involved. Some yes. people, their way of being involved is donating to a particular cause. You know, other people like to persuade people to buy things, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people are really good at that. Some people are natural at selling things. I know Leslie's really good, as we all know, because she's chair of the auction. So
right.
she's a natural, and some people are better at it than others, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's room for all different kinds of skills and personalities, I think.
I too have been had the experience of being at the marketplace selling tickets for the Durwood K. McDaniel First Timer Committee as we raise funds for our receptions that we give. And it is really, truly fun to meet those people as they're going into session. And I've talked to people that I wouldn't have normally had a reason to, not that we need a reason to talk to people, but so that really is, you know, a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. Terry, do we have any more hands?
No. Yes, we do. We do have one now. Patty Great. Cox.
Okay. Go ahead, Patty.
I just want to say that there are people out there that can't give physically, but to get involved and help sell whatever we're selling is just as important as giving that monetarily donation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, get involved in one way or another. If you're one that doesn't like to be on the committee, but you have the funds to support, any support that we get is great.
Thank you, Patty. I couldn't agree more. That's great.
And David Trott has his hand up.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, when we talk about fundraising, another thing we don't tend to look at as much, and ACB started looking at it, and we found the value of it because we're able to track it now, is volunteer hours. So if you can't afford to buy from a fundraiser or give, the work that you do, the volunteer hours, has a monetary value in the fact that it's something we don't have to pay to get done. So, you know, anytime that you can volunteer for any organization, it's so valuable. ACB found that we have had over 1 million hours of volunteer work that equated into money of about $4 million in value. So, you know, always think about when you're doing something, you know, if you're out there selling those candy bars, you have a value, whether you sell one or 50, you know, there's still a value with it. And we just need people to get out and work and join and do for the organizations that we all love. I mean, we love CCLVI or we wouldn't be doing what we do.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And those volunteer hours are so important. What does an hour of volunteer work kind of equate to? What does that equal?
Probably $27,
$28. Wow, that's great.
You know, and like if you're looking for a grant, they look at how much work you put into the organization as much as the project that you're working on. You know, because if you're going to have to get out and pay for what you want to do with this grant, they don't really, you know, consider you a good candidate. So it's valuable.
Absolutely. Okay. Great. Good reminders that no matter what we do, it has values. So,
yeah, I think they've done a great job this year, even in the midst of the pandemic. I'm glad we're going to be doing some of the Tupperware events. It sounds like people have been enjoying those. They're doing a little bit different than the old fashioned Tupperware events that I remember when I was first married, you know.
And heavens, I've got some Tupperware that's 40 years old.
Right?
It's lasting stuff.
Yep,
and it serves us well. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate
But they make
that.
Those fun events, you know.
Yes,
so
yes,
I'm sure there's a lot of ideas. And if people have been around things, maybe we could share some ideas with Kathy. They did a great job with the walk. When you think about the fact that usually that walk, that Brenda Dillon walk, was a actual physical walk that happened at the conferences, and we were able to transform that into a virtual walk, that's quite a change of paradigm, and people embracing that as an activity to get involved in and donate to.
Yes, you don't even have to get sweaty if it's a virtual walk, right?
Yes.
I also forgot to mention that the fundraising committee meets once a month, and our next meeting is actually coming up on Sunday, September 19th. We have been meeting the second or third Sunday of the month, usually at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. That may change depending on if we get new members and if people's schedules permit. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But our next meeting is September 19th. So
that's
7 p.m. Yep.
So they're willing to be flexible,
yes.
But they do try and meet monthly, and that's good to just kind of keep everything going.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if anyone is interested in being on that committee, you can just send an email to CCLVI membership@gmail.com or call our toll-free number, and that is answered by a real person who can answer all of your questions, and that is 844-460-8255. 0625.
The CCLVI, yes, that's that name you cry. Can't see the writing on the wall, or you take it nest, you fall. Call the CCLVI.
All right. Thank you, Tom. And he plays the ukulele, and tomorrow's morning's session is going to be lots of fun. So come and join us. Thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate all of you.